Hi there, and welcome. My name is Rock, and my beautiful wife is Ro. Yes, you heard that right, Rock and Ro. On behalf of Open Door Lake CC, we are so blessed and honored to bring you this powerful message titled, The Ancient Lie in a Modern World, From the Garden to Genesis 6 to the Last Days. In this message, we will look at the first great lie Satan told in the Garden of Eden, You will not certainly die, and how that same deception is still working in our world today. We will see how mankind is still being tempted to believe that we can overcome death, redesign humanity, and become like God without God. But the truth of God's word is clear. Eternal life is not found in technology, science, human achievement, or the systems of this world. Eternal life is found only in Jesus Christ. So open your heart, open your Bible, and let's begin this important message together. Let us open with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you today with humble hearts. Lord, open our eyes to your word. Help us understand the times we are living in, but keep us from fear. Give us wisdom, discernment, and boldness. Let this message point people away from deception and toward Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior. He is the only resurrection. He is the only true eternal life. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today we are looking at a powerful and very serious subject, the ancient lie in a modern world. This message begins in the Garden of Eden, moves through Genesis chapter 6, and brings us all the way to where we are today with science, technology, artificial intelligence, DNA research, and the growing movement called transhumanism. Now, let me say this clearly at the beginning. Technology is not automatically evil. Medical research is not automatically wrong. Helping people walk again, restoring sight, treating disease, and helping the sick can be a blessing. Luke was a physician. God has given mankind intelligence, creativity, and ability. But there is a line that mankind must never cross. That line is crossed when man says, "We no longer need God." We can redefine life. We can redesign humanity. We can defeat death on our own. We can become like God. That is not new. That is ancient. It began in Genesis chapter 3. The serpent said to the woman, in Genesis 3 verse 4, "You will not certainly die." That was the first great lie. Satan denied God's word. Satan denied judgment. Satan promised life apart from obedience to God. Then the serpent said, in Genesis 3 verse 5, "You will be like God." There it is. The heart of the lie was not just, "You will not die." The deeper lie was, "You could become like God without God." That lie has never left the human race. It showed up at Babel. It showed up in pagan empires. It showed up in false religion. It will show up in the last days. And today, it is being dressed in new language. Human enhancement, life extension, artificial intelligence, gene editing, digital immortality, human-machine merging, and transhumanism. But the Bible gives us the truth. Romans 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Man cannot overcome death by rebellion. Man overcomes death only through Jesus Christ. Ro, will you please help on this section by reading Genesis chapter 2, verses 4-25? I titled this first section, "The First Lie, You Will Not Certainly Die."
Section 1. The First Lie, You Will Not Certainly Die. Genesis 2 verses 4-25. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth and there was no one to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. Verse 20. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
Thank you, Ro. In Genesis 2 verses 16 to 17, God gave Adam a clear command. God said, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." God also warned that disobedience would bring death. Then in Genesis 3 verse 1, the serpent comes along and says, "Did God really say?" That is how deception often begins. Satan does not always start by openly attacking God. He starts by questioning God's word. Then Satan says in Genesis 3 verse 4, "You will not certainly die." This was a direct contradiction of God. God said sin brings death. Satan said, "No, it does not." Then Satan adds in verse 5, "Your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God." So the lie had three parts. First, question God's word. Second, deny God's judgment. Third, promise mankind godlike power apart from God. That is the same lie still working today. When man says, "We can live forever without God," that is the old lie. When man says, "We can redesign the human race," that is the old lie. When man says, "We can merge with machines and become something greater than human," that is the old lie. When man says, "We can overcome death through technology," that is the old lie. The packaging is new, but the deception is ancient. Section 2. Genesis chapter 6. A corruption of God's design. Now we move to Genesis chapter 6. This is one of the most serious and mysterious passages in the Bible. Genesis 6 verse 2 says, "The sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose." Then verse 4 says, "The Nephilim were on the earth in those days." There are different views among Christians about the phrase "sons of God." Some believe it refers to the godly line of Seth marrying the ungodly line of Cain. But many Bible teachers believe the phrase refers to fallen angels who crossed a boundary that God never gave them permission to cross. This view is supported by the way the phrase "sons of God" is used in places like Job, where it appears to describe angelic beings. Genesis 6 describes a time when the human race became deeply corrupted. Something unnatural was taking place. The boundaries of God's created order were being violated. The result was violence, wickedness, and corruption. Genesis 6 verse 5 says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth." Genesis 6 verse 5. And Genesis 6 verse 11 says, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence." The word "corrupt" is important. The earth was not just sinful in behavior. Something had become deeply defiled. The human race was being ruined by rebellion. This is why Noah stands out. Genesis 6 verse 9 says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. God preserved Noah and his family. God protected the human line through which the Messiah would eventually come. Satan wanted to corrupt mankind, but God preserved a remnant. Why does this matter? Because from Genesis 3 onward, Satan knew that God had promised a coming seed. Genesis 3 verse 15 says that the offspring of the woman would crush the serpent's head. That is the first prophecy of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. So Satan's attack was not random. He wanted to destroy God's plan. He wanted to corrupt humanity. He wanted to stop the promised Savior from coming. But Satan failed. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Jesus crushed the serpent's head at the cross. Section 3. The Boundaries of Creation. When God created the world, He created order. He created boundaries. Genesis 1 repeatedly says that living things reproduce according to their kinds. God created fish according to their kinds, birds according to their kinds, animals according to their kinds, human beings in the image of God. Genesis 1 verse 27 says, So God created mankind in His own image. This is very important. Man is not an animal to be upgraded. Man is not a machine to be modified. Man is not a biological experiment. Man is created in the image of God. That is why the devil hates mankind. The devil hates what carries the image of God. So from the beginning, Satan has tried to corrupt the image, confuse the image, redefine the image, and destroy the image. In Genesis 3, Satan attacked God's word. In Genesis 6, Satan attacked God's created order. At Babel, man tried to build a name for himself apart from God. In the last days, the world will again unite in rebellion against God. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 says, There is nothing new under the sun. The tools are new. The technology is new. The language is new. But the rebellion is old. Section 4. What is transhumanism? Transhumanism is the idea that mankind can use science and technology to move beyond normal human limitations. It includes ideas like extending human life far beyond normal limits, using genetic engineering to enhance the body, using artificial intelligence to increase human intelligence, using robotics and implants to upgrade the body, using brain-computer interfaces to connect the mind directly to machines, try to overcome disease, weakness, aging, and even death. Again, we must be balanced. A medical device that helps a paralyzed person move is not automatically evil. A prosthetic limb is not evil. A pacemaker is not evil. Medical technology can be used mercifully. But transhumanism becomes spiritually dangerous when it moves from healing the body to redefining humanity. There is a difference between treating sickness and trying to become a new species. There's a difference between helping a disabled person and trying to create a post-human race. There is a difference between using medicine and trying to replace the Creator. That is where the church must be alert. Section 5. Where we are today. Today, science is moving very fast. We now have brain-computer interface technology where signals from the brain can control digital devices and robotic limbs. We have genetic engineering where DNA can be edited. We have research involving human cells placed into animals for medical study. We have genetically modified pig organs being developed for possible transplant into human beings. We have robotics being connected more closely with the human body. We have artificial intelligence being used to imitate human thought, speech, writing, creativity, and decision-making. We have billionaires and technology leaders pouring money into anti-aging research, AI, brain interfaces, and human enhancement. Now listen carefully, not all of this is the same thing, and not all of it has the same moral weight. Some of it may be intended to help the sick. Some of it may relieve suffering. Some of it may save lives. But underneath the most radical forms of it is a dangerous spiritual question. Is man still content to be made in the image of God? Or does man now want to remake himself in his own image? That is the issue. The garden lie says, you will not die. The modern lie says, technology will save us. The garden lie says, you will be like God. The modern lie says, we can become our own creators. The garden lie says, do not trust God's word. The modern lie says, the Bible is outdated. Science is our final authority. But God's word is not outdated. God's word is eternal. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Section 6. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus gave us a major warning about the last days. Matthew 24, verse 37 says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. That is a serious statement. Jesus said the days before his return would have similarities to the days of Noah. In Noah's day, there was wickedness. There was violence. There was corruption. There was rejection of God's warning. There was normal life going on while judgment was approaching. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the flood came. In Matthew 24, verse 39, Jesus said, they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is the danger of deception. People can be living normal lives while ignoring eternal reality. Today, people are talking about the future of humanity, the future of AI, the future of medicine, the future of the body, and the future of consciousness. But many are not talking about sin, judgment, repentance, the cross, and the return of Jesus Christ. That is dangerous, because man's greatest problem is not merely aging. Man's greatest problem is sin. Man's greatest problem is not lack of intelligence. Man's greatest problem is rebellion against God. Man's greatest need is not to merge with a machine. Man's greatest need is to be born again. John 3 verse 7 says, you must be born again. That is the answer. Not upgraded, not modified, not digitally preserved, not genetically redesigned. Jesus says born again. Section 7. The image of the beast and the final world system. The Bible tells us that in the last days there will be a final world system under the Antichrist. Revelation 13 describes a beast system of worship, control, deception, and economic pressure. Please read Revelation 13, verse 16 to 17.
Revelation 13, verse 16 to 17. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name.
People will be forced to receive a mark in order to buy or sell. Now we must be careful. We should not claim every new technology is automatically the mark of the beast. But we should understand this. The world is moving towards systems of global control, digital identity, surveillance, artificial intelligence, and economic dependence. Revelation tells us that one day there will be a final system that demands worship and allegiance. The issue will not merely be technology. The issue will be worship. Who owns you? Who do you bow to? Who do you trust for life? Who do you follow? The Antichrist system will offer survival, peace, security, and unity without Jesus Christ, but it will demand the soul. That is why Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? A man may gain technology and lose his soul. A man may gain extended life and lose eternal life. A man may gain the world system and lose the kingdom of God. This brings us to Section 8, the lie of immortality without Christ. The Bible teaches that death is real. Death is not an illusion. Death is not just a technical problem. Death is the consequence of sin. Romans 5 verse 12 says, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. That means death is a spiritual problem before it is a medical problem. Science may delay death. Medicine may treat disease. Technology may assist the body. But only Jesus Christ can defeat death. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 26 says, "The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And death is destroyed by Christ, not by man." Jesus said in John 11 verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." He did not say, "Technology is the resurrection and the life." He did not say, "AI is the resurrection and the life." He did not say, "Genetic engineering is the resurrection and the life." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is the answer to death. When Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with sin. When Jesus rose from the grave, he defeated death. When Jesus comes again, he will finish the work and raise the dead in Christ. That is the Christian hope. Section 9. The true transformation is not transhumanism. It is resurrection. The Bible does teach transformation, but it is not transhumanism. It is resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 51 to 52 says, "We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." This is not man changing himself into something else. This is God transforming his people through resurrection power. Philippians 3 verses 20 to 21 says, "Our citizenship is in heaven." And it says, "Jesus will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body." That is the believer's future. We are not waiting for a billionaire to save us. We are not waiting for a laboratory to perfect us. We are not waiting for a machine to immortalize us. We are waiting for Jesus Christ. Titus 2 verse 13 calls it the blessed hope. Our blessed hope is not the next upgrade. Our blessed hope is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Section 10. The church must be awake. Brothers and sisters, we need discernment. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Satan is still lying. Satan is still deceiving. Satan is still trying to corrupt what God created. But we must not live in fear. We must live in truth. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 says, "There will be terrible times in the last days." Then Paul says people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That sounds like our world. A world full of knowledge, but lacking wisdom. A world full of technology, but lacking holiness. A world full of information, but rejecting truth. A world trying to overcome death, but refusing the one who rose from the dead. Daniel 12 verse 4 says that in the time of the end, many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Knowledge is increasing. Technology is increasing. Speed is increasing. But the question is, are people coming to the knowledge of the truth? Jesus is the truth. John 14 verse 6 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Section 11. Do not believe the ancient lie. The serpent said, "You will not certainly die." But people do die. Billionaires die. Scientists die. Presidents die. Kings die. Religious people die. Atheists die. Everyone dies unless the Lord returns first. In Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, "People are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment." That is why the gospel matters. The gospel is not man improving himself. The gospel is God saving sinners. The gospel is not man climbing up to God. The gospel is God coming down to rescue man. Jesus Christ came in the world, born of a virgin, fully God and fully man. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins. He shed his blood. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." That is the true answer to Genesis 3. Satan said, "You will not die." God says, "You are dead in sin, but I will give you life in Christ." Satan said, You will be like God. God says, I will make you my child. Satan said, take and eat in rebellion. Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. The first Adam brought sin and death. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, brings righteousness and life. Today, do not put your hope in the world. Do not put your hope in technology. Do not put your hope in religion. Do not put your hope in your own goodness. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 3 verse 7, you must be born again. Being born again means you come to Jesus by faith. You admit you are a sinner. You believe he died for you and rose again. You receive him as Lord and Savior. Romans 10 verse 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you are ready to call on Jesus today, you can pray from your heart. If you want Jesus to make you born again, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. Forgive me, cleanse me, save me. I turn from my sin and I put my faith in you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me born again. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, congratulations. If you prayed that prayer sincerely, the Bible says you are saved. Now follow Jesus. Read his word. Pray. Find a Bible teaching church. Be baptized. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In closing, brothers and sisters, the ancient lie is still alive. The world is still saying, you will not certainly die. The world is still saying, you will be like God. The world is still saying, we can save ourselves. But the Word of God says salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. Acts 4 chapter 12 says, salvation is found in no one else. Do not fear the future. Jesus is already there. Do not bow to the system. Bow to Christ. Do not believe the serpent. Believe the Savior. The devil is a liar. The world is passing away. Technology cannot save the soul, but Jesus Christ is alive forevermore, and he is coming again. Let us close in prayer. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for warning us about deception. Thank you for showing us that the lie began in the garden, but the victory was won at the cross. Help us be discerning in these last days. Help us love people, speak truth, and preach Jesus Christ clearly. Lord, if anyone hearing this message is lost, draw them to salvation today. Keep your church awake, faithful, and ready for the return of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. On behalf of Rock and Row and Open Door Lake CC, I wish you a wonderful week. Remember, we are one day closer to Jesus' return than we were yesterday. Bye-bye.